Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Excellence Cartel. Ooh, it's been, 2 weeks since we recorded. We were supposed to have a guest today, but some unfortunate circumstances came up on their end, and we deferred to a Q&A episode, so we fielded some questions, both Jeff, Sue, and Jason did, and we thought we would first kick off with a recap of how the PEC7 in Tampa went. Rather than do our usual 7 days, because we saw each other for like 4 of the 7 days, so we were pretty well in there with each other. But Jeff, I'm gonna turn it to you real quick.
Yeah.
Kinda like, what were your thoughts? What were the highs, lows, PEC7? And kind of give your feedback on everything.
Well, you know, I think, you know, we can all agree that it was a great event. I think the people who, you know, have filled out the survey that we sent out so far agree with us. So everyone was happy. And I know, you know, leading up to it, you know, we were a little stressed with, you know, the travel and the hotel flight costs, whatever. But, you know, it ended up being a really good turnout. And, you know, people, you know, found value in what we have to offer, and they fit us into the budget, and we all had a great time. The only thing that I can complain about is the hotel. And I think a lot of people could probably agree that that wasn't the best hotel, but, you know, it was very affordable. So, you know, it balances out. Other than that, you know, I think it was a really successful event. I'm looking forward to PEC8.
What was your favorite topic?
I really like Brandon's topic, to be honest. And I've been telling a lot of people that I liked his topic better than my topic. No offense, better than Jason's topic. I just think because it was like so simple, but yet so deep at the same time, that I really enjoyed it. You know, so kudos to Brandon for leading the charge there. And I also really liked Lauren's topic as well. I think Lauren did an awesome job. I think those were the best, in my opinion.
Yep. It was funny because Lauren, I'm the one who helped. I gave her that topic.
Oh,
you know, we were sitting in my kitchen and I was like, hey, I really think you should talk about turning pro, because like from your standpoint, you've really accomplished a lot. You know, she had a lot of the, I wouldn't say imposter syndrome, but the usual, are you sure? And I'm like, no, this is meant for you. So to see her have a presentation that resonated with a lot of attendees and especially the speaker panel was cool, because I know that that was a risky presentation to do, because it was being bare. And whenever you're bare, you know, there's a lot of risk there. Yeah. Jason, what about you? What was your... good stuff. It was from Tampa that you'd like to talk about.
You know, for me, it just seemed like a good cohesive group. A lot of the topics helped me further in my business. So if I know that I'm getting something out of it, I think everyone else is. You know, as far as the hotel, I didn't mind it. I don't think they were easy to work with. But as far as the accommodation, it was fine. It was really cool to get to MI-40. That was really nice that they accommodated us there.
Yeah,
that was Powerhouse cool. Gym was nice. So there's a lot of cool gyms down in Tampa. But yeah, you know, the topics I learned probably, I'd say the most at this one out of any of the ones that I've attended. And I learned something every time. But, you know, I think I learned more out of this one than any other. So for me, that was cool. And we had a good group, a lot of good questions. We got to go Saturday night, train at Powerhouse. Jeffrey and I, along with some people that decided to come, we trained for a really long time and then went and did sushi, and it took them forever, but it gave us a chance to catch up with people and just answer questions and just kind of chill. We didn't get done till 10. I actually had plans. I thought I was going to go out, and by then I'm just like, screw it. And that was it, man. But it was a nice evening, and all around, it was a pretty nice trip for me. My clients kind of let me be, and like I slept the best I've slept in probably 2 months. So that kind of tells me that I think I've got a little too much on my plate, but I think that's what 2023 is going to kind of be.
Fair. What was your favorite presenter or topic, should I say?
Well, I mean, you know, I think Brandon did a good job in terms of delivery, but let's be honest, I've heard that topic 3 or 4 times. Like I've done it twice, 3 times. John Gorman's done it. Brandon's done it now. Like, you know, I like it. He did well. But like for me, it was Vince's. He finally buckled down and I've thought delivered something that I could really use my practice, because I do a lot of functional nutrition. And, you know, I've studied under him of the flush, but he put a lot of details together that I was still kind of screwing up, to be honest with you.
What were they?
I wasn't going as high calorically. My macros were usually around 100, 260. And he's like, no, man, you just push them up. If they come to you at 1200, you don't meet them there. You just push them up and they don't gain. And I've seen that. Like I've always been around 1800 when they're 1200, but he's like, no, you push them up to 2100. Cause I've been wondering how he like signs people for 3 months and gets them through and better. And I'm like, I am not getting there that quick. Well, it's because he doesn't spend all his time beating them up. He's already got them there. And then he filled in a lot of holes about glucagon and things that I already kind of knew and what was going on, kind of filled it in for me. So for me, where I'm at in my career, that was the most helpful. And he's going to speak on OID, whether you believe it or not. And I think it might be a question in this Q&A, but he's going to speak on that at the summit. So I'm like really excited to see it because he's been kind of holding that one close to the vest.
Yeah. Nice. Oh, well, let's see. I really enjoyed MI40. Jeff, Sue, and I had a good time training on some back treatment. We met one guy named Adam, another guy named Nick, and Nick ended up coming to our seminar. Really just nice group of people there, man. Matt Chrisman, who Next Level on IG. If you guys are not using his somatic neurotherapy work, like he literally put my body back together. I was actually very uncomfortable that whole plane ride down there. Like by the time I got down to Tampa, I was like, fuck, I got to sit again when I hang out with Lauren for the whole day. You know, I wanted to walk around because sitting for me is a hard time. But by the time he had worked on me a lot on Saturday, I could kind of sit there later in the afternoon and not be bothered. So if you guys are in Tampa, be sure to hit him up. But for me, it was good seeing you guys and kind of catching up. You know, everyone's asking us when we're going to do PEC8. We don't know yet. It will probably be later this year, if not this time next year. We just have a lot of shit in play. I've got my book coming out this year. I'm getting back into the educator space by presenting at the coaching consortium on iodine and copper, which actually, I don't know. I think I might just have to do all iodine because like now that I'm writing this out, I'm like, fuck. Because, you know, I think you guys could speak because you guys present last one. When you get up there and you present, you want to make sure you go over all the slides rather than be like, I went over 20 of 52 slides or something like that. And be like, well, don't worry, you're getting the PowerPoint presentation, because it makes you feel bad because you really want to tie things up and kind of like really fill through it. So I'm trying to figure out how I can get it to just a good 50 minutes. And if that means I only have to do one. But I learned a little bit by watching you guys. And what you guys went through with the presentations, because they were all good. It was just a matter of like, you know, the push, because you know there was a lot of information you guys were going over. But go ahead.
I was gonna say, I think, you know, going forward, like I learned from observing, you know, what people have been saying in terms of feedback. I think from now on, at least I'm gonna do this, keep the topics very, very simple, but just keep it like super, super application focused only. I feel like, you know, my presentation and maybe Austin's presentation, because I'm just going back, I'm looking at the survey results right now. Those two didn't hit home with people because it was such a complex topic and it was more so educational. So, you know, the reason why Brandon's did so well was, you know, like Jason said, it was a topic that was done so many times, but he delivered it so cleanly that 100%. People really resonated. So that's something that I'm going to improve on next time.
Yeah. I mean, he did a great job of like showing like what markers you can really look at, and, you know, even added a few there, you know, kind of thrown in the ferritin and different things. Mm-hmm. He definitely did a great job at it. And, you know, that's what you and I were talking about in the car. Like I told you, I said, yeah, I learned some things, but like, I really don't remember you kind of applying it. And you're like, oh, well, I kind of did at the end. And I think a lot of people probably missed it, cause I really did kind of too. I agree.
Yeah, I actually, in my presentation that I'm doing, I'm loading it out with a bunch of links for the research where I've been gathering all my information on iodine. So that way the people who attend can understand where I was sourcing things from to be able to understand how I arrived at using it the way I did. I picked up some stuff from Brandon in that regard, the way he sources stuff out. I'm going to chime in though. I think the best presentation was, I actually give it to Vince. You know, I've presented with him now seven times, well, six, and then watched the small five and then watched the other one. But, this was the first time I really felt like he tied it all together and delivered something that was very applicable. You know, I think he really helped illustrate that, hey, if you get majority of the people who come to you, they're inflamed. So whether you work a massive supplementation program or you work a minimal supplementation program, you're better off at least addressing the inflammation and working some type of flush procedure. And he went into a really good job of explaining like why he did like the glucagon and the insulin stuff he was talking about, and why GDA max is better used with meals because it actually does the spiking of the insulin. So there was just things that just made sense that he had tied together. A close second for me was I really loved Lauren's, but I really liked Alan's. Alan's was very different for me because I don't think we've ever really had such a research heavy panel speaker. So it was, there was a lot of heavy research in there. So it was very unique for me to see. So those are my two takeaways. Cool. All right.
You guys, we just want to say thank you to everybody for filling out the survey. Yeah. You know, I'm looking at it right now. We have 14 responses. And I know we had more than 14 people.
Come on. Yeah. We actually had no more seats in the room by the time we all sat down.
We filled the room, but you know, if anyone's, you know, listening to this, you know, once we release it, you know, please go and fill out the survey that I sent out. It would mean a lot to us three here. It's anonymous. So feel free to drill into us and really give it to us so that.
I think Jeff's lonely.
Yeah, Jeff's lonely. I'm fine. I'm like over here, like, I don't need no fucking bullshit. Like, what? I don't need any of that shit.
We just want to be better. We want to be better. So that's
it. Yeah. So for those asking about PEC, we decided we're going to pull back to Nashville. So we get, you guys want us to go to like Canada and the Bahamas and fucking Italy and all the cool places in between. But based upon what we encountered at Tampa with the hotel and things like that, we just already have a relationship here because we've done more in Nashville and I have the gym, and it's a lot easier to do a lot of the logistical things that make the event feel better and more personalized, which is some of the feedback we did get. When we're in those hotels, there's only so much personalization we're actually allowed to give.
But here's the thing, we've done the more personalized stuff. And half the time, people don't take advantage of it. So then
that's true.
Do it, and now they're like, "Oh man, where was the personalization?"
And you know, some people wanted business stuff, but last time they were like, "We don't want business stuff."
Right.
So it's hard. It is hard, but we try. We try to you know hit you know every you know
that's true.
You know, cylinder.
I think going forward, we just be safe and should always have at least one business panel speaker.
I agree with that. I think one business person, just depending upon what it's going to be about.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's the bigger thing. But so for those of you asking, it will be Nashville going forward for any future events for the time being. Now, if anything changes, we'll be the first people to let you all know. If we get a cool, Jeff's working on something potentially in Boston, so there might be a Northeast event, but that's outside of the realm and has been in discussion for some time. So with that being said,
pull that off. That'll be sweet.
Yeah. Outside, which we can't talk about because then we'll curse.
I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah. Shh. But anyway, if we end up doing Boston, it'll be cool. So, but besides that, we're doing Nashville. And the other thing we're looking to do is we're actually looking at doing practical stuff since we do have a gym that we can utilize. So we are going to be in practical application into the seminars. To kind of diversify us in the seminar space, because let's be honest, guys, the seminar space is getting crowded. You know, we kind of did some good stuff there, took some things to the next level, kind of did some cool things, but we're going to go back to our roots and kind of bring it to the gym. And this will allow us to lower ticket prices some to make it a more affordable product. So it'll be really all around well, because when everybody comes to Nashville, there's a little cost and save for all of us because the way the flights work for a lot of the speakers. So it's just better for us long term. So we just want to explain that to you all before you guys pepper us on the DMs, especially Jeff, because you guys would get Jeff all riled up and Jeff be like, "We should have fucking gone to damn Omaha, Nebraska. There would have been like 18 people there, Jeff." And we would have been like fucking pissed. But you know, we love Nick Langer out there in Omaha, but nonetheless, I just picked out a random city and threw it out. And man, just pick one that I knew someone there. All right, guys, let's get into Q&A. Real quick, since we went over that, another successful PEC in the books. Be proud of ourselves. We are. Jeff Sue, what is the first question we have?
All right, I'm going to lead with a very juicy one. This was all over social media, at least up here. Should hack squats be banded? Why or why not? It was a couple of coaches here. A couple of coaches were arguing and tagging each other and shitting on each other on social media about this
banded hack squats.
Yeah. Should you ban a hack squat to, to, you know, help with, you know, keeping tension or, you know, saving your joints or whatever.
I mean, I think Jeff Black was doing that for a while. Jeff, what's your opinion?
So here's my take on it. Like, I get why you shouldn't ban the hack squat. Okay. Like, I understand this because it takes away some of the strength curve and, you know, it's, you're not resisting weight as much on the way down and you're only overloading on the way up. But for someone who's got injuries and someone who likes to do different things, I think the banded hack squat really serves a place and I can get more reps on it without cardio killing myself where a normal hack squat would. I think it depends upon the link where someone's at in their career. Now, if I had like an 18, 19 year old guy and he was doing that, I'd be like, fuck no, stop banding that. Unband it until you get a knee problem, till you get a back, till there's some there's an actual problem that you've had to like take a step back from said exercise and like, you know, either do prehab or rehab work or different various things with. So I guess I sit with, rather than sitting there like a bunch of bitches on fucking social media arguing about a fucking band or not a band, maybe you guys should explain the different scenarios why the band and not band might want to be used or not used. Because fuck, that's just like what we talked all about the PEC. Remember, we had a whole panel of literally people that were just saying like all kind of the same things, just all saying it differently, but all in different contextual points, right? Mm-hmm. And I just feel like that this is one of those questions to me that it's a bunch of guys measuring dicks when they just should be better off. Hey, when people are looking at you like that, dude, they're fucking looking at you for a response, like to educate them and lead them, not confuse them further and trash other people. Give them the reason it's good for and get out. That's my thought process. Everything serves a purpose. It just depends upon when.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that. I mean, sometimes I ban my hack squat. Sometimes I don't, you know, it kind of depends on how my knees are feeling that day. So
exactly. I think it's about the enjoyment of training. And I think we've missed that. Like I watch these people fucking in my gym. They'll set up a cable machine, you know, on a hammer. And then they're doing this shit and that. And I'm like watching them take 20 minutes to set up this one fucking thing. And I'm like, go over there and get a goddamn barbell and fucking do some bent over rows, you small ass pussy. And I like sit there and try to have these conversations, these dudes. And I'm like, not one motherfucker on social media doing this shit has built a better back than anyone who did bent over rows or anything else. And maybe I will live long enough to be proven wrong. Maybe some fucking 18 year olds hearing me right now and will tag me 18 years from now. I'll be like, look, Jeff Black, all I ever did was this single arm pull in and this single arm tucked elbow cable row. And look at my back, it beats Dorian's and Ronnie's. But until that day, I'm going to say some of you guys are not that far enough down your road of training that you guys got to do all that special shit. Like sometimes just go in there and fucking make it fun. I think we've lost that some.
I don't think we always know the context of why someone's doing something.
Exactly.
Like maybe when I was 25 in the gym, if I saw someone doing something quote unquote wrong, I'd snicker. But like now, like you just don't know the context. Like maybe someone's not working range of motion because their shoulders are jacked, but they still are getting a bit of a chest squeeze, you know, but they're not going way in the hole. Maybe people just don't feel it in a certain way. You know, if you look at some of the training that Ronnie Coleman did, I mean, his reps, you know, weren't like these perfect reps, but the dude is the GOAT, right? So like everyone trains a little different. Everyone's got a little bit of different style. And, you know, there is obviously a right way to do something. But if someone's tweaking something, there's probably a reason behind it. Now, I get it. They're 18 years old. Their joints are great. Get on that thing, get in the hole and do it right. But, you know, a guy like me who's 45, there's probably a reason why I do it. Like I broke my elbow in Cancun. So now I can't do your traditional push downs for triceps, but I can put my elbows out here and do like it, like I'm doing a reverse press. Well, people are probably looking at me like, what the fuck's that guy doing? You got to have your ankles, elbows tucked. You got to do this. I can feel it. I can feel it the whole time, but it doesn't hurt the elbow. So there's usually context and a reason why people are doing what they do.
100%. And I think that where we could get better as an industry is rather than dick measure is actually explain the context of where these can be good and bad rather than saying absolutes.
Yep.
You know, I mean, come on, let's just be honest. Alex sold me on the idea that I forever can do a bunch of trend and be okay with it. So Jason, what's your question?
Let me pull up the thread here. One that I had was,
how big are your hands?
Could you guys talk about uneven fat distribution due to hormonal imbalances / cortisol? mostly about waist area and face. Is redistribution possible? And if so, how do you achieve it? I guess it won't magically happen during maintenance phase. That fat will go from one area to another, but maybe after fixing hormonal imbalances,
So I guess they're talking about the cortisol response and more belly fat gain.
Yeah, and I think in particular, you know, they probably didn't mention it, but they mentioned, you know, estrogen dominance. You know, you'll notice, you know, some women, you know, come off shows, progesterone's low, and they start force feeding, their ass gets massive, and then they're on there showing like, oh, look at my ass, I meant to do this, and it's completely disproportional, it's all fat, right? So like that too, like I think all those things are, you know, certain things that can happen when your hormones are wonky. So I think that's what they're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, you know, fix the estrogen dominance, get some lab work, you know, metabolic syndrome or syndrome X or whatever it's called, you know, when you Google, usually, you know, suggests, you know, cortisol imbalance, water retention in the face, you know, cankles, swollen ankles, and, yeah, added belly fat, you get insulin resistant and you start piling on fat. And, you know, for a lot of men, that's, you know, lower back, you know, women, you know, hips and thighs, and yeah, your face gets, you know, you get that moon face when you're, you know, all inflamed.
So, well, I mean, I think the short of the answer is it's 100% correctable. But while you're fixing things, yeah, you're going to be training less, probably feeding up, at least eating in a maintenance, and addressing the issue. So yeah, it's not going to miraculously go away while you're getting balanced, but certainly once you get balanced, if you get on a proper nutrition plan and stick to it, you certainly can reverse it. I mean, I have a guy that, you know, he's 65 and he had metabolic syndrome, all of it, you know, from insulin resistance, type 2, to fatty liver, to high blood pressure, all of it. He had everything that you can go with metabolic syndrome, and we reversed all of it. And he had the belly fat. Now he's got a 6-pack. So yeah, you can reverse it, but it's going to take time, and you got to fix the underlying issue first.
So how do you sort out the, Jason, are you using like CortiEase and things like that? If it's more of a cortisol related body fat,
I mean, that's one what, distribution, that's pattern, one tool, right? But I mean, I bring the supplements in last,
okay, or
least of importance, I guess I should rank. What, yeah. So, you know, I mean, I'm going to, if someone has, you know, an issue of adrenal issues, right? So I'm going to always probably rest on more. That's going to be one of my first things, right? I'm going to probably throw in some restorative yoga. I'm going to pull back on your training, probably adjust your RPE lower. I'll probably flush you. We just were talking about that. That's going to lower inflammation. And then by doing that with more carbohydrates, that's going to help lower cortisol as we're doing it. And then, you know, I'm going to put you on a really good diet. It's going to be Mediterranean based. And I'm going to keep resting you and keep feeding you up. And then I'll add in a little CortiEase and probably some ashwagandha. Mm-hmm. Kind of help with the, you know, have an adaptogenic herb and then have an herb to actually, or a product that actually helps cortisol metabolism, which is what CortiEase does. But alone, just throwing CortiEase at it would help a very minimal amount. You got to kind of work the case in its total.
Yeah, the reason I asked that is because you have fossil serine in that. Fossil serine has been shown to blunt exercise-induced cortisol response. Yeah. So if you're resting them and you're still training them, my question would be, are you using the CortiEase post-workout to help mitigate that cortisol response some to allow them recover in that situation?
You certainly can. Okay. I'm a type A dominant person. I take 2 CortiEase after every workout.
Yep, that'll help with your BGs for sure.
I did take my BG yesterday because I've just been stressed. I feel like I'm putting on a little extra fat. Postprandial was 79. I was shocked. So I think I just need to eat less and eat better. So,
Oh my goodness. All right, Jeff Sue, I'm going to toss it to you for question number 2.
Oh, hold on. One last thing I wanted to say about you know, this cortisol thing. You know, drinking a lot of water is like probably the simplest thing that you can do if you have cortisol dysregulation, simply because the, you know, cortisol gets metabolized and inactivated basically into cortisone. And there's a special enzyme that does this. We actually had a podcast about it when we were talking about 11-beta-HSD. Now, the thing with this is that it gets, most of this happens in the kidneys, okay? And the adrenal glands. And so flushing, literally flushing with water will help encourage this metabolism. And that's why on the Dutch test, which is a urine test, you can see the metabolites from cortisol to cortisone and how quickly you are basically inactivating cortisol. So the simplest thing that you can do, like Jason was talking about working the systems and not just jumping to the supplements, start by drinking more water and then go from there. Try to get one fluid ounce per pound of body weight.
Add more salt while you're doing that if you're really going to get the aldosterone.
Salt and vitamin C. Vitamin C for sure.
And that'll do it.
All right. Question two, sir.
Question two, how the fuck, this is what the person said, it's not me adding that, pro bodybuilders only train 60 to 90 minutes. My training sessions are all 2.5 hours and more. Am I doing too much volume? Am I too slow?
Wow. That sounds like a very dynamic question. So I would dare say if you're at 2.5, 3 hours, it could be maybe you're taking a little too long. Maybe there is something known as junk volume in there. I don't know. I'd probably have to watch you to see you. But I feel like once you get past 90 minutes in a gym of actual like weight training, I feel like that's a long time, unless you're including cardio and shit like that. Yeah. So to answer your question, pro bodybuilders got a great response to obviously training, food, and they don't get sick from the drugs they have to take to get big. And that's kind of what I've seen there, you know, to be on that end. But I don't think it's necessarily their training methodology is better than Joe Schmo's. Because, I mean, look at how Jay Cutler and Ronnie trained, completely different. Then you had Dexter. That guy was like a ninja, went all the way to like 50, you know, Jack. So I don't know. I think once you're at 2.5 hours, guys, I feel like it's too long.
Yeah. I mean, here's the deal. If you aren't feeling a pump anymore, you're definitely in there too long.
Yeah.
You aren't getting shit anymore from that. Aside from whatever it's doing for your mentality and mental, or maybe you're just a lonely person and you got friends in the gym or something. I don't know. I get there and I get the fuck out and get home.
But yeah, you're not a friendly person though.
I got a lot to do. Not really in the gym. I'm not.
No, you're not. You're like stare down, cock diesel stare.
I just don't really want to get into conversations when I'm in the gym. I'm there to work and that's pretty much it. Plus I've got tons of other shit to do in my life. Maybe when I'm 60 and I don't have a job, I won't mind it. But you know, it's, you're not getting anything past 90. I would argue about 60 minutes for everything other than legs is really all you need if you're being on point. And here's the thing too, though, how long has this person been training? Because, you know, I, from literally from rep one, I'm getting a response, meaning the muscle is firing. I'm ugly facing it. I'm in the zone immediately. I know how to find this very fast. I don't need 25,000 reps to get the muscle taxed and move on. The more of an intermediate to beginner you are, you might not feel the rep till about 9 or 10. Right. So yeah, you need more time in there because 1 through 8 were just junk reps. Mm-hmm. Or you getting to become an advanced trainer and you're only going to really feel this when you are advanced. It's hard to teach it. You can, but it's hard to teach it over a podcast. But once you're there, you are not going to be able to do 2.5 hours of very intense on point reps that your muscle feels every single one of them. You just can't. You're not training hard.
You know, I only have one thing to say to this because you both covered it really well. I think the one thing that this person could do is leave their phone in their car.
That's extremely helpful.
No phone. Don't go in the gym with a phone and see how quickly you get your workout.
Bless you. You know, I'll be real with you. Since I got that really bad news last Wednesday about my back from that back surgery. Well, no, it's one back surgery, it's back news. But like ever since I came back this week, literally the last two workouts, I've not touched my phone during my workout. I put my Spotify on, my cardio playlist, and I just go. And if I don't like the song, I just skip. I won't even go near my phone now. And I've had the best two training sessions in a long time lately. So that's some good advice.
I never look at it when I train. In between training, I'm doing calves, something for my chest. I never touch my phone. Yeah. When I'm there, it's all about building a body.
Yeah. Jay, what's your next question, sir?
It's a two-parter. Let me unlock my phone. I'll get reading. I'm going to do it backwards because I think this one's just more fun. I guess this person attended. They did. I really loved Lauren's presentation at the seminar. It was more of a personal account. I know in the past you guys have discussed your starting points and elaborate on how you have grown as coaches. But could you potentially review this again? Failures, successes, and growth.
Oh, Jeff, I'll let you go first. I'm kicking that so I can think for a second. Sorry.
Jeez. I mean, we've talked about this recently behind closed doors about how I can continue to improve. And I think, you know, the easiest way to say it is as you grow and as you become more successful and people take more note of you, there are going to be people who, for whatever reason, want to pick a bone with you and argue with you. You're going to have to deal with, you know, clients that are unreasonable, maybe some conflict with, you know, peers or whatever. And at the end of the day, the best thing to do is just to focus on serving the people that, you know, respect you and need you and stay focused on the clients, really, if you're a coach in this business. And just understand that, you know, it's better to work together with people that, you know, can bring you up and that you can support as well than it is to, you know, fight everybody and be alone and go on your own. You can be successful that way too, but it's a much harder road, you know? And, you know, last year and even so far this year, you know, I've had a lot of instances of that and I've had to remind myself, you know, go back to the client, go back to the people who are really your friends, who care about you and all that stuff. And, you know, it's going to be a constant reminder because there's always going to be shit that happens. So those are the lessons that I've learned, you know, and I continue to learn and grow. So,
yeah. Jason, do you want to say anything?
Sure. I mean, you know, I will say again, coaching wasn't a profession when I was in college. You know, I mean, I think Chad Nichols had done it. I didn't know who Chad Nichols was. I think Hasido had done it. I didn't know who Hasido was. Other than that, it was not a profession. It kind of found me. So, you know, my growth and the way I came about was message boards. And that's where I met both of these guys. And, you know, I was a lawyer, just doing shit on the side. And it, because out of the love of it, really, and helping people. And this was the way I could help people. Yeah, I could help people with law, but it was always kind of like, I don't know, it was problems they dug themselves. And I don't know, it never really was my calling. So this kind of found me. And one thing I'll tell you is to be successful in this business, you have to work your ass off, at least in the beginning years. You know, I was putting in a 40-hour work week with law, and then I'd come home at night and I'd work till about midnight. It wasn't great, you know, on a relationship. And, you know, you make sacrifices, I guess, to get to certain areas. You don't know you're sacrificing at the time. So I guess, you know, that's just my one way of saying be ready to work very hard and work long hours. But I also will say this. I think I'm also where I'm at because of luck and timing. I got into the industry at a good time. And, you know, so there's a little bit of luck involved there and timing to everything. I think you coaches now have a much harder road to hoe. I think if all you're going to be is a one trick pony, meaning your macros and training, so you're getting people in shape for shows, I think you're going to starve. You better learn how to help gen pop. You better learn how to help people with their functional needs, because I'm telling you right now, so many people are fucked up out there. It's amazing. And it's very rewarding to help them. So I would tell you to get educated in that area. Not just because I have a course on it. So, you know, Jeff does as well. Vince does as well. It's not because of that. It's because if you're going to be in this business and you want to go somewhere far with it and actually pay your bills and be successful, you better branch out. And then finally, I'll say that as far as improvements, I still am not good at telling people no. I have a wait list finally. And it stresses me out even to have a wait list because I know I can help them. I know what their issues are and I feel bad that they're on it. But at the same time, I'm starting to see that my days are just getting longer and longer. I'm getting up earlier and earlier. Yeah. And I'm working later and later. And at some point I've got to figure out what makes me happy. And I guess I'm trying to still figure that out at age 45. Some days I want to just work as fucking hard as I can and just be as successful as I can. And other days I'm like, you know what? I've done enough. Let's sell it all. Let's buy a little house that I own and have maybe like 20 clients and say, fuck all. So I don't know. Maybe the lesson is there. You just quite never know what you want. At least I don't. So there's my ramblings on it.
Man, I feel that, that last part, man.
Yep.
You know, actually, I'll give a different spin. I think what I can say is I'm really glad when I look back over my business career that I've trusted people a lot. That, like, so I look at Caesar and the Brutus thing completely different. So when Caesar went out there to face a certain death, you know, he didn't know he was going to get stabbed to death by 100 plus senators, including his best friend, right? But he believed in himself and what he was doing so much that he turned his back to them, which then gave them the knife to do what they did. And I think when you're like out there in business and you're out there in leadership, it's honorable to lead forward where you turn your back to people because you trust them. What they do with the knife is on them. And if you're listening to this and you're really trying to grow your business, I'd say trust people more. Social media tends to be a very negative lens you can look through at all times where it's like, fuck people. Because every time I watch relationships burn, people have problems, businesses fall apart. Like, I'm like, holy fuck, that looks awful. But then I go out in the real world and I don't have those experiences. I have some great experiences. I have people who come up to me in public and be like, hey, because of your gym, I've been clean and sober for, just happened to me the other day, 3 years, guy at a gas station. So I was pumping gas. He just saw me. And I was like, I'd never see this guy. He's like, oh, I go in at like 11 at night. I'm like, it's cool, you know? And you know, stuff like that. It's just, and that's all because I trusted people enough to be like, I can have a 24-hour gym that isn't staffed by cameras. Do you know what I mean? Like, I believed in the better part of people. And I think that if you focus on that as a business owner, it'll help you get through the failures better, because the only way you get better is if you fail. And I think that's something that we could all say we've learned.
Yeah. I mean, to expound on that, I mean, I am not where I'm at because of me as a lone wolf.
Oh, true. Yeah.
You know, I mean, I have so many great business partners that, you know, they make me look smarter. And I learned that from the guy that I worked at, you know, for as a lawyer for years. He always said, surround yourself with people that are smarter than yourself and let them do what they're best at. And I've definitely done that. And I have a lot of good business partners and friends and people around me, including you too. So you definitely got to do that for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sir.
That part that you were saying about when you're on social media and all you see is like negativity, right? Like, I think we can all agree that when we were at PEC or when we are at PEC or these live events, when you actually get to meet people and not just DM them or watch them and make judgments about people on their, on your little screen on your phone, it's actually a really beautiful industry, like filled with like great minded people who just want to help. We're all on the same mission. So it was really refreshing for me to be down in Tampa and just, you know, meeting new people and just talking to other people who have, you know, come to our events as a reminder that, you know, we're all, you know, real people just trying to find our way in life and trying to help people, you know, that's all. Agreed. It was a good reminder. So.
Agreed. Jason, what's part two before I turn it over to Jeff Sue to finish us out?
Sure. Let's see how to do this. It isn't a question, but I would say how you guys incorporate functional medicine / nutrition into a client's plan is what separates you from other coaches. I believe this will be the future. I do too. Maybe discuss how a holistic approach benefits clients and what all that could entail. Do you see different presentations as a whole with competitors and gym pop? And if so, how?
Different presentations, like different...
Like, yeah, like how do they come to you? Like, you know, how are they presenting? You know, I think she is a doctor. And so they use the word presentation. It just means like, what symptoms, what issues do they have? Yeah.
Yeah. You can take it first.
You know, number one, I totally agree that, you know, functional nutrition is the future. I also think what the future is going to be is that most people will have some sort of functional nutrition coach and they will have a doctor. It's already getting to that point. I work with so many people with issues from PCOS to gut issues. And of course they have a doctor and they have me. And the things that obviously we as coaches can do, we're more accessible, right? Doctors aren't getting on their emails and getting on their phone as often. You see them maybe once every 3 months. for 15 to 20 minutes. So, you know, we are able to be there and work through their problems a little quicker. As far as how I see people present, it does not matter whether they're a competitor or a gen pop. Competitors, especially females, I'm sorry, females, but your bodies just don't do as well under stress of type training and dieting as a male's. I see the same problems whether they're a competitor or whether they're gen pop. They're stressed, they're inflamed, they have cortisol issues, they have under eating, and it's the same thing with gen pop. They want to look good, they're just not trying to get on stage to do it, and there's so much bad information out there on how to do it. And I think as an industry, we're still growing and figuring it out. You know, I think honestly, one of the best ways to train most women is probably let them push hard for 4 to 5 weeks and then pull them out for a week, whether they're healthy or not. I think that'll keep them healthy. And if they weren't healthy, it'll reverse a lot of what was going on. I think as an industry, we're still really trying to figure out, because most coaches are still training women like men. So in any ways, I think a lot of them present very much the same way, to be honest with you. And so that's why I said earlier that if someone isn't learning functional nutrition principles, they're going to get left in the dust. And I really believe that.
I actually want to chime in real quick. I agree. I think that the question is going to be for the part though, Jason, is going to be, how does a company like New Ethics and coaches like us bridge that functional to the gym pop? Because the majority of gym pop think that what we do is like scamming shit, because they've already been through their detoxes, they've already been through their challenges, they've already heard all these words. So that's why, like, you see the flush being used as a mark, you know, as a word. You see all these different things. I really believe that you're right. Like, the way that these line up are very similar, and you see this across all spectrums, you know, men and women have their issues, but really where it's going to be, where functional medicine takes that next big step, is our ability to convey it to gym pop, I think. And I think that's where, when that happens, the fitness industry blows open.
Well, I think that's why we didn't use the word, or, you know, Vince didn't use the word, because I got flushed from him, right? Like, right. I don't pull any bones about that. And that's why the word detox wasn't used, because, you know, there are tons of crazy detoxes out there. I've seen some where you drink like this lemon juice.
And yeah, I've seen those for
auction and stuff, like, you know,
it moves bile.
Yeah. You know, so I agree with you. I do think that New Ethics is helping bridge the gap, though. And I think this year you're going to see us make our biggest strides yet. We've hired a huge sales staff. We're going to get into all the supplement stores, the mom pa shops around the country. Our goal is 400, but we're going to be on this show called Boom America. Maybe I've talked about it, but Kevin Harrington's team is going to help us. And I'm going to task them with getting us in 1,000 stores by the end of 2023. It's going to be a busy year for me and my team and everyone involved. But yeah, I think that New Ethics actually will make a big push to bridge that gap this year. I really do.
Jeff Sue, round us out before you go up with the final question to kill the episode for the day.
You know, I think whether you're a gen pop or whether you're a competitor or whoever you are, you still are a human being, and you still have all the same systems that a competitor has. Just because you're a competitor doesn't mean you're made of iron and you're immune to, you know, type 2 diabetes or insulin resistance or inflammation, cortisol issues, what have you, right? So I think by understanding that, you know, all humans have systems and system issues, you can then begin to understand the importance of functional nutrition and how functional coaches like us kind of can cover and bridge these gaps. As for, you know, the perception of it, you know, that'll change slowly over time. I have some friends and clients who are doctors, and I'm sure a lot of doctors who may listen to this podcast can agree that dealing with insurance is a fucking pain in the ass. You know, the insurance companies really dictate how many patients, you know, doctors can see and actually help. And a lot of them aren't being paid. They're saddled in debt. They're not getting payments coming through. They're not seeing the X number of patients that are required for them to, you know, operate a profitable practice. And a lot of doctors are going concierge. They're saying, fuck you, insurance. And they have patients that will pay out of pocket for concierge services, like what we offer as coaches. And I think as that population of medical professionals grows, and if we can partner with them as coaches, like Jason said, we can have a medical professional and a coaching professional to match the Gen Pop, the Gen Pop and competitor needs that are out there.
I mean, we're already at ABH, you know, I mean, our nurse practitioner, she's been trained by Vint, you know, and so she already can speak the language. And so she has the allopathic and she has the functional. And so it's already being blended. And I think that as we push forward, it's only going to be more. I mean, hell, I know the Mayo Clinic has used the damn word on their website, you know, health coach. And when you've got that happening, tides are changing.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
I agree. So, I like the vision.
The last question, this would be a good thing to round out. So this is, I don't know who keeps asking me this stuff. Or it's like the same like individuals, but they just really want to know what's up with Vince's OID program. And I want everyone to know that Vince and I talked at PEC, okay? And there's no diverging beliefs or anything like that. We are on the same page here. And so how do you personally do a flush? Is it similar to how Vince does it, okay? And then, is OID a gimmick? If not, is the protocol just a flush process to fix?
You want me to start or?
Yeah. Yeah.
So the first part was how do we do a flush?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to give you everything because number one, you know, I teach a whole functional nutrition course on how to do this. Number two, you could have came to the PEC for $500 and Vince fucking knocked it out of the park on the flush. So there's tons of resources out there. But I mean, how do you do it? You're going to do kind of the opposite of what they've been doing, which is high protein, lower carb, most likely. So the protein goes lower, the carbs go high. You're going to use a lot of fruit. You're going to use some fruit juices. And you're going to take those carbs up probably at around 250, 270, depending on the person. More fats, protein's about maybe 20% of the intake. You're going to use a Mediterranean style diet. You're going to drink a lot of water. You're going to get your sodium high. We talked about that just before, if you understood what we were saying in that, so that principle applies here. And you're going to do it about 10 to 21 days, depending on how serious of the inflammation and issues the client has. And you know, you're going to go pretty high calories and about 2000, even if they're a little lower coming to you. And I use Metapure and OptiPure to help round out the detoxification and anti-inflammatory effects that we want. If someone wanted to use Metagenics, you could. They have Ultra Clear and Renew and Advaclear, but it's going to be more expensive than our new Ethics ones. And that's the nuts and bolts of it. You know, there's more to it and running it, and you got to know what you're doing coming out of it, but that's the nuts and bolts of the flush. As far as OID, listen, Vince gave it a name. You know, whether you want to believe in the name, let's put that aside. I think everyone who can pick up the internet knows that an immune system can become overactive. Okay. And I think we also can agree that T cells and B cells at the mitochondrial level can become basically not working optimally. Okay. And if you can agree to those things, then you probably will understand Google autophagy and what it does. It takes the shit out of the body and brings in the new. It's that simple. So all he's doing with, you know, the OID is working the autophagy type principles. Is it just a flush? Hell no. The flush is how you start. That's the very beginning. That's not how you deal with an overactive immune system in and of itself only. Getting inflammation down is one step, but he's got a whole proprietary process. I know nuts and bolts of it. I don't know all of it. I have not paid for his certificate. So I'm not going to sit here and try to give you any more than that in terms of it. But OID is its term that he coined. Again, you can set that aside. An immune system can become overactive. It's well known. So that's as much as I'll say on it. At that point, they can go to Metabolic Mentor University and take the course through Vince.
Can I chime in?
Sure.
I say the best thing we do is we actually just get Vince on here.
I'd love to have him on.
Yeah. So Jason,
yet because he's going to talk about it at the Hybrid Health Summit.
Well, no, I mean, whenever, but I think that might be helpful, but here's my thoughts on it. I think with what you see with like the clients events gets, those are the people who, by the time they get there, they already know their back's against the wall. And those are people who've already gone through different things with different coaches. And he, because he has a entire team, which a lot of us don't, he's been able to crack the code at a faster rate than a lot of other people. So what he's doing is kind of like trailblazing. And whenever you have trailblazing, you're going to have people who are polarizing. You're going to have topics that incite people to be pissed off because it doesn't exist, because research doesn't say exists. I mean, fuck, I got research about, you know, human growth hormone doesn't do shit for the human body, but I'm a body of work that says it does something because every doctor I've met said, hey, I think if you hadn't done the things you did, you probably wouldn't have the life you had. I really believe that based on what I know. So I think what he's doing in this topic is something that will evolve over time. And who knows, maybe it becomes something else. But, you know, I'll be honest, at first I was kind of like, ugh, great, another thing that people just go around and say they're fucking broken with. But with his post, time and time and time again, he manages to deliver data that backs up what he is talking about. Mm. Well, that's where I'll leave it.
I'll just say that, you know, the term OID may not exist in medical literature, but like Jason said, and as a lot of people know, like I've said, you know, that I have psoriasis. I've had it since I was 16. I have an autoimmune disease. I know about them. And overactive immune systems absolutely do exist. Now, does everybody need a flush? Does everybody need to go into the OID program? Heck no. And Vince will say that himself. But for the people out there who have tried everything and they're willing to go through a very strict protocol, it might just be the thing that they need. And that's my stance on it. But for the
I agree with you.
Can't drink water if you're still downing, you know, a bottle of wine three times a week. OID is not for you. The flush probably isn't for you. Basic habits are for you. So,
but before we wrap this up, and I say the breaking news, I'm pretty happy about that. My phone's blown up. I'm like, what's going on? But whoever keeps asking these questions to try to get us to like attack other coaches and shit like that. Like, we're going to have our opinions, but let it not be mistaken that we all talk privately and we all have our thoughts and our beliefs, but that's how we all agree to get better. I mean, you have a panel of 9, 10 different, including myself, that were down there in Tampa that all probably thought differently, all about different things. But the fact is, we're all willing, you know, all coaches and everyone who's listening should be willing to collaborate and grow and get better. And I know at times I've probably been like, fuck that person or whatever in regards, because that's just the way I'm wired. But ask better questions, I guess is what I would be saying. If you're going to waste Jeff Sue's time to piss him off, ask better fucking questions, is but what I would say. And then, guys, Mayor Cooper, Nashville, Tennessee, just announced he is not running for re-election. That's why everyone is blowing my phone up.
Where are you at, dude? When are you running?
I mean, here's my shot. Dude, they put up a billboard called ABC, Anybody But Cooper.
There you go.
And I was laughing, and like he's just announced, they're all like, oh my God,
it's time to strike. You got your book coming out.
Yes, it is the Nashville takeover.
And that's half of your memoir of just like, you know, they can't really dig dirt up on you, 'cause you probably put half your dirt in there, and you know, here's who I am, man.
Yeah.
Vote for me.
I didn't put all my like pussy excursions, but nonetheless, I didn't put that. I wasn't like probably the best man out there. So I was honest about that. But guys, I'll see you all next week, I guess. It was a good one.
Yeah, this is solid.
Be sure to like us, share us, rate us on Spotify, all that good shit, man. We need to get some of y'all's loving out there. If you guys got topics for us, please hit us up. Topics, we'd love to bring guests up. Anything. Yep.
If you guys can like leverage us to get guests, please do.
Yep, absolutely. All right, guys. I'll see y'all later.
All right.
Bye.